Corey, you've been doing some work with diabetes. Could you give me an overview of what exactly you're looking at?
Sure. So I'm not studying how to manage the diabetes aspect itself. I look at the complications of diabetes upon the nervous system. So diabetes, once it's been present for anywhere from a few months up to several years, will start to cause a lot of problems within the peripheral nerves and the brain itself, and those are my aspects of research. So in terms of the peripheral nerves, it causes problems with the nerves degenerating, and these nerves go out to your skin to bring in sensations that you can feel properly. They also go to the muscles to tell the muscles how to function and give you proper strength.
Now, I understand that you're also working on pain management for diabetics. Where would the pain come from? What kind of pain would the patients experience?
So about 50% of patients with diabetic neuropathy will have pain associated with it, and the pain itself is usually in the feet, which makes it very difficult because, of course, it's hard to walk on your feet when they're in excruciating pain all the time. The pain itself is described as a combination of burning sensations as well as stabbing or poking, shooting sensations, so it varies from patient to patient, and over time, the pain gradually creeps up along the length of the legs, and eventually it'll affect the arms as well.
What kind of treatment is available at this time to manage that pain?
So for diabetic neuropathy itself, there's nothing that we have that can help treat the neuropathy to prevent it from getting worse over time. For pain control, there's a lot of different options. So there's not just a few, there's several. So in my clinic, I would use anywhere from 15 to 20 different medications to help treat pain at different times with different individuals. And those treatments range from what are called gabapentin to antidepressant agents to agents that we usually use to treat seizures called anticonvulsants, and then a new class of medications over the past two decades called the cannabinoids, which are medications that are similar to cannabis. And then lastly, opioids, so such as morphine, for example.
Well, I understand that you're also looking into a new drug called Nabilone. What is that?
So Nabilone actually is an old drug. It's been around for about 25 years. And when it was first developed, it was used to treat nausea, and in particular, nausea for patients going through chemotherapy. And so it was used for that condition for a long time. And at the time, people weren't 100% sure about how it worked. But over time, we've learned that it actually works through cannabinoid receptors. So these cannabinoid receptors are over different spots in our body, and they react to things like cannabis or drugs that act like cannabis, such as the cannabinoids. So marijuana, for example, will also act on these particular receptors in different ways. The main reason we want to look at Nabilone is because there's a lot of interest in people using things like marijuana and cannabis now, and marijuana and cannabis, depending on how you take it, can be associated with a lot of different side effects. So, for example, there's some concern that it could lead to low testosterone levels in men. There's some concern it could lead to features of psychosis or even kind of a version of schizophrenia when it's used at young ages. And so there's a lot of concern about those kind of things. And on top of that, if you're smoking marijuana, it may have influence upon your lungs as well. So we're looking at Nabilone as an alternative that can still act on those pathways in the body but not necessarily have those particular side effects. And the studies to date with Nabilone have not demonstrated those particular side effects.
So what are you doing to actually test this out?
So we started off by doing an animal study where we were giving this to mice that had different forms of diabetic neuropathy. And then we looked to see if we gave this agent, which was, of course, commercially available, or other similar types of cannabinoid agents, would it help the mice experiencing pain? Now, when you deal with mice and pain, it's not the same as humans. When you have humans in your clinic, you can ask them about the pain and they can describe it for you. Mice, of course, can't do this. So we have to look at behaviors. So how we do that in the lab is we look to see how they react to stimuli being placed over their feet that could be uncomfortable for them, so such as a poke from a little filament or with heating, so through a thermal sensation of being hot. And then we learned over time that Nabilone, as well as a couple of the other agents, were effective for helping to control the pain in the mice. Then we went on to study it in the humans. So we did a randomized controlled study of either nabilone or placebo for patients that had bad diabetic neuropathy pain. So we ran this over the course of 2008 until 2012. And at the end of the study, we analyzed our data and found that, in fact, nabilone was quite helpful and helped the pain, but also helped sleep and anxiety in those same patients as well.
So what might happen now? What would be the next steps?
Well, we've completed the study. Now, it was a smaller scale study at one site only in Calgary, and so there could be advantage, of course, to doing a larger scale study at multiple sites. The problem is the drug is now generic because it's older now, and so no generic drug usually goes through studies unless you raise a lot of money through grants and other purposes to do it. So I don't know if those kind of studies will ever be done now, unfortunately. So what we've done is we've gone out and start telling people about how this class of medications is quite useful for pain and needs to be considered, and it doesn't cause much in the way of side effects, so it may be a better option than several other agents that we have available to us right now.
So is it a question of repackaging the medication, maybe with different dosages or whatever, in order to make it available for this usage?
So actually, we're just using the existing dosages, and we found those to be quite effective. So I don't think we need to worry about getting new dosages. Basically, it's just using an old medication for a new purpose. And so getting it out and used for patients that have pain that could be responding well to it, but may not be responding as well to other medications that cause them a lot of side effects.
And is it something that you need to take over a period of time for it to build up in the system before it works, or does it start to work right away?
Generally, it takes 1 to 2 weeks to start exerting its effects, so it won't happen immediately. That's in line with what most other medications will give for benefit as well. Usually they take a similar period of time.
So what are you doing to get the word out?
So we've been doing some continuing medical education sessions with a lot of different doctors around the province. I've been giving talks in other local areas in Western Canada as well, and just kind of explaining that this is a viable option. It's a generic drug now, so it's easily available and patients can get it without having any kind of special coverage. So it's a good option that a lot of physicians may not know about but now can consider.
What are some of the other things that you're working on with diabetes?
So we're doing a new study right now where we're looking to see if we can prevent pain from being a big part of it. So we're trying to look for patients that have early neuropathy. So the neuropathy is just beginning, and we're giving them an agent called subcutaneous immunoglobulin, or SCIG. And we're doing this in a proper study to see whether or not this could stem the tide of inflammation occurring and prevent these patients from developing pain over the months and years later. So that's a new study that we're just launching. Another study that we're getting involved with is with an agent that you put on your feet. It's like an extra insole in your shoe, and this insole can actually feel pressure as you're walking and then send a signal wirelessly up to a receiver on your back. Now, the reason why this is useful is many patients with neuropathy can't feel the floor when they walk, and they've got a lot of difficulty with walking as a result. So in this case, when you walk, the insole sends a signal up, and you feel the pressure on your back, just like somebody was pressing on your back with a footprint. We're hoping that this will give a kind of biofeedback that could be useful for patients walking with diabetic neuropathy in the future.
That sounds like the product that's been developed by Orpix.
It is. That's the company we're working with, Orpix, yes.
Well, it sounds very encouraging. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.